Thank you for praying for me. I need a lot of English for this message. And thank you for praying in advance. So how about we start with prayer? Because definitely I don't want to talk too much before praying. So this is the best way for me to be out of any trouble. So let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for you, that you're our Father, that you did not leave us alone. You did not leave us as orphans. You came after us, Father, and we thank you that you sent Jesus for us, your only begotten Son. And we know that. We're sure about that, that Jesus died for our sins once, and he paid the penalty of our sins once. And only by your grace we are saved now. We know that Jesus was buried and he was resurrected on the third day, and we are sure that you saved us all from this world, our sins, and now we can come to you and talk to you as your children, and we are sure that you hear us. Father, we pray that you bless this time and hour. We pray that you lift our church, you protect this church, and you help us hear your word, understand your word, accept your word, and do your will. Without your help, it's impossible for us, Lord. And we pray for your guidance and your help, and the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 From Adam and Eve to Ananias and Sapphira. Let's open Acts 5. Acts chapter 5. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Acts 5, 1 to 10. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a position and kept back part of the price. His wife also bring privy to it and brought a certain part that laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land, whilst it remained? Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou convinced this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, where ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. I'm going to say amen. She's died. She's dead. She died. Her husband died. And this literally took place. And this is only Acts 5. This is the early church. The early church. This is the first part of the book of Acts. We know that the book of Acts is a transitional book. it transition from something to something, which is the gospel message to Jews. That's the early part of book of Acts. And later on, we see from Acts 7 to 9, we see how God changes the ministry of church to a Gentile church, and he chooses Apostle Paul, and then everything changes, and we hear the word of God, we hear the gospel message. But here, it's only Acts 5, and it's early time. So what happened, and why this happened? It is a very important question, if you ask. Why God allowed this judgment come upon a husband and wife in the time of grace, right? Grace, the unconditional love of God. But this is so conditional now. They lied and they died. This is so conditional. But what happened to the unconditional love of God? If we ask this question, I'm sure we're going to be blessed by the answer that comes from the Word of God, not the answer of Pastor Yassin. We're going to just read the Word of God and compare four people, two by two, two husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira. If we compare them to Adam and Eve, they did something similar. We see that Ananias and Sapphira lied to God, disobeyed God. They had a heart issue. The reason why I say that is because they were among saved people in church. So the first thing I should learn is being in church doesn't mean I'm safe. Doesn't mean I'm saved. Doesn't mean it's good. It's good to be here, but it's not enough if we didn't make the decision of life. They were among saved people. Earlier this week, I thought they weren't saved. I actually talked to Pastor Turner. Then I thought a little bit more about that. Now I think they might be saved. The reason is they received the punishment of God. And we know that God chastised his own children. And I think there are some condition, some sins that God allows our life be short. He can take us earlier if we are saved and we are doing something that we are not supposed to do. And I'm not sure if they were saved, Ananias and Sapphira, but for sure they were among saved people in the New Testament church. I think they might be saved. But one thing for sure, they heard the word of God because they knew what to do. And they actually made a big decision. They sold a piece of property. And they brought it and they laid it on apostles' feet. That's very good, right? It's a good thing. So if I have a piece of land, and if I sell it, and if I bring the money to church, that's very good. It's a good thing to do. That's basically part of the message. So, but not before being right with God. Not before that. Ananias and Sapphira weren't right with God. Even though they sold their property, they brought the money to church, they gave to the work of the Lord, but they didn't give the first thing that was required, the heart. They didn't give their heart fully to the Lord, but they give part of the money. It was a piece of land they sold. So it should be some big money. Then or now, doesn't matter. And now let's compare them to Adam and Eve. Let's go back in our Bible and open Genesis 3, verse 6. We know Genesis 3 is the chapter that we read about the fall of man. Genesis 3, 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So they decided to disobey God. This happened in the perfect, literally perfect garden that God created perfectly. Everything was so beautiful. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the perfect garden. And since then, exactly the way how God said, them, their children, and us, we are all dying. We are dying because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Let's open Genesis 5. The very first man that God created, so perfect that he said, I created man in my own image, Adam. He died in Genesis 5, 5. I don't believe in numbers being inspired, but I know that there are many people calling, there is a connection between number 5 and death. I'm just saying it's out there. If you heard, at least you know the reference, because the first man died in the first 5 of the entire Bible. That is the reason they say. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's out there. And let's read Genesis 5:5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Wow, 930 years. Do we have anyone older than Adam right now? No. We might have some cases. I'm one of them, but I think we don't have exact number who being older than 930 years. And he died. Genesis 5 is full of and he died. So-and-so lived for so long, and his son's name is this and that, and he did so many great things, and he died. And he died. What's the reason? Let's jump to Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we are dying in Genesis 5, verse 5, verse 8, 11, 14, 17, 20, 27, and 31. They died. We are dying because of disobedience. 8 great men died in Genesis 5. 8, because we don't read about the death of Noah, and we don't read about the death of Enoch. That's why the first 10 fathers, patriarchs, we read about the death of 8 of them in Genesis 5. Because everybody is dying, because everybody is under sin, because Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the perfect Garden of Eden. And exactly from there, if we look at our Bible, in dispensational Bible study, in chronological order, there are two methods that we can divide the Old Testament. And from here, we can track what happened to mankind. If we divide our Old Testament in method one, from Adam to Abraham, we have the first 2,000 years. It's in your note, you can see. The first 2,000 years, God did everything to teach us what is a father, how to be a father. I read the entire Bible. I could not find any chapter, any verse that God teach a woman how to be a mother, because it comes with the package. But us men can be fathers biologically, but I think we need some knowledge from the Word of God to how to father a child. This is that I'm learning. I'm not a father. I'm praying for that. But I'm praying that before that, God teach me. So men, we need to pray for how to father our child. But the first 2,000 years of human history, God made a human, a father figure for us. The reason is, he wanted to bring his own son. And he wanted to introduce us the idea of father and son. So he showed us a father figure named Abraham. This is the first 2,000 years. If we divide our Old Testament in this way, what happens is the first 2,000 years we see all mankind lied to God. Individually and collectively, meaning as a whole, as families, as nations, and also individually. Everybody lied to God in the first 2,000 years. And then, if we divide the Old Testament with the first 2,000 years, then we have to check the second 2,000 years, which is from Isaac to Jesus. And God showed us how to obey our father, how Isaac obeyed his father, and how Jesus obeyed his father. So now we learn about how to be obedient to God. But what happened during the second 2,000 years? Mankind, again, lied to God individually and collectively. Not only to God, to each other and to themselves. We are a bunch of liars. Sorry to be very honest, but I have to be. We are a bunch of liars here and there and everywhere. We are here to learn about what's wrong with us. And method two, if we divide our Old Testament in method two, we can say from Adam to Moses, the first 2,500 years, I like to call it the age of conscience. I know there are other methods to divide it, divide the Old Testament. I know there's another way they call from Adam to Noah, the age of conscience. But it will be too advanced if we do it that way. I just wanted to make it simpler. So from Adam to Moses, because there wasn't any written law of God, God actually talked to some individuals, but it wasn't like for everyone. Not everyone had access to it until the time of Moses. So I call it the age of conscience because of that reason, because the word of God wasn't accessible to the public. So the first 2,500 years when people were thinking on their own, their understanding culturally, whatever conscience they have, we have. In the first 2,500 years, mankind again lied to God, both individually and collectively as a whole, as family, as nation, as group of people, whatever ism was back then, how many ism there was, how many ism there is, they were and are all lying to God. And then, from Moses to Jesus, we have the age of God's law. And again, mankind lied to God every single day. They lied to themselves and each other every single day. What did Jesus say on the cross of Calvary? It's done, finished. It's done. God is done with the plan of salvation. He did it all. The New Testament church is the closest thing we get to Garden of Eden. This is the closest we can get to Garden of Eden. Right now, here. Because this is the Ecclesiastes, the assembly, the gathering of God's people who are saved, heard the word of God, have access to it, and have the fellowship of God here. Not here. Here. I have it in me, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that we all lost at the time of fall of man, and we received when we said yes to this. Amen. So I received it. Yes. We received it. So this is the closest we can get to the Garden of Eden. But what are we doing? Are we still lying to God? If I'm still doing the same thing that people were doing in the first 2,000 years, the second 2,000 years, if I'm still doing the same thing, so that's why, exactly that's why God gave us a picture, a figure, a type that I'm done with the plan of salvation. Are you done with your lies? Yasin. From Jesus' crucifixion to now, the age of God's grace, God's love. And by the way, it's unconditional love. For sure, it is unconditional. We are living in the Holy Spirit time, the age of grace. It is unconditional, meaning wherever you are, whatever you have done, come. You can get saved only by accepting the gospel message. But, right after that, a transition, a conversion, a change of mind, heart, hands should take place in my life. I cannot do the same thing that I was doing before getting saved. And if I do, there's a picture. Ananias and Sapphira died because they lied to the Holy Spirit. All of us know about John 3:16. Let's open and read it. It's blessing. I love that. I'm assuming most of us memorized this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the love of God. Right? Amen. Amen. Let's open Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God commendeth his love toward us. What should we do individually and collectively? What should we do? So God loved us.
I don't care.
No, God loved us. So what should we do? We should love God because he loved us. We should love him. That's very clear, right? But how could we love God if we don't know what is love? Because there are some crazy group of people calling whatever love. Love is not whatever. Love is not doing things in the flesh, thinking fleshly, doing things fleshly and calling it, this is love. No. If God gave us 66 books, he is teaching us everything within the 66 books. So how about open this book and ask God, God, you show us what is love and how we can love you. Let's open 2 John, verse 6. 2 John has only one chapter. 2 John, verse 6. Lord, what is love? 2 John, 6. Did I say 2 John? Yes. God, what is love? And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Do you think Ananias walked in the love of God? He says, and this is love, that you keep my commandments. They lied. Have you read the Ten Commandments? Yep. Do you think Ananias and Sapphira heard the Ten Commandments? I think so, because they were in church. I think Brother Peter was doing a great job teaching the Word of God and preaching it to them. I think so. So they heard. Did they understand what the Word of God says? I think so, because they talked to each other and decided to give to church. So they understand. So nothing wrong with their ears. Ears pass. Ananias and Sapphira's ear, good. Brain. They did understand what's going on. I'm afraid that the problem starts from here, because there are only two places left, heart and hand. They didn't do it the right way, and I think nothing was wrong with their hand. I'm assuming there was something wrong with their heart. They didn't want to love the Lord the way that he teaches us. Let's open John 14, 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. It's not hard at all. God doesn't want to suffer us. God doesn't want to put us in some hard situation. This morning, I was listening to Brother Colton's preaching and I was helped. It was so good. It was a blessing from God. I learned so much about sheepiology, I think so. And he taught us about how sheep are. I am a sheep. What is the requirement of being a sheep? Just accepting that I am a sheep. And then, Lord, I walk where you want. I stay where you want. That's it. So keeping his commandments is not just doing some rocket science. It's very easy. Very easy. I think something is wrong with me making it complicated. It's very easy. We don't need all of that complication. God made it very easy. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Hear this. Open it, read it. That's it. I know there are many very good, godly, useful Bible colleges. I appreciate all of that. I'm looking forward to learn more things from them. But we should remember this. This book is written for people who were slaves for 400 years, multiple generations in Egypt. They didn't know how to write or read. This is written for slaves who don't know how to write and read. So if we open it, we're going to be helped. We don't need a PhD degree to understand what God says. Nothing wrong with that. I like to study more. Bible colleges are good. But don't say you don't understand because you didn't go to a Bible college. It's very, very easy. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's it. The very thing that Ananias and Sapphira failed. Adam and Eve failed. How about me? Pastor Yassin, I appreciate that for the honor of the office. You call me Pastor Yassin, but God will not call me Pastor Yassin. He will call me Yassin. Did you love me? Really? I have to answer that. Where are his commandments that he says, if you love me, keep my commandments? Did we read John 3:16? Hallelujah. Now let's open 2 Timothy 3:16. 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. We are looking for his commandments to keep them. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we know inspiration means breathing. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly finished unto all good works. All good works that Ananias and Sapphira failed to do, all good works. Why they failed? They have heard the inspiration of God, the word of God. They have thought about it, but they didn't do the good work. Why? Because between mind and hand, there is another station. When you hear, when you understand, when you think about it, then you have to accept it. Then you do the right thing. So they heard the scriptures from Brother Peter. They understood because they had an idea. But they didn't do the right thing because their heart didn't accept it. But why God gave us this book? Why God gave us the inspiration of his word? Why God gave this to us? This is the only piece of eternity that we have. The reason we have it I think, is in 1 Corinthians 10:11. God gave us this book because of this reason, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So this is written for us to learn something about it. If you want to have a summary of your Old Testament in your New Testament, there are two places, Acts 7 and Hebrews 11. Acts 7 and Hebrews 11 give us a great, great summary, lots of information about our Old Testament. Do you think Ananias and Sapphira heard the word of God about Abraham, Isaac? They were in church. So part of this book was available at that time. And what the church's number one priority? Teach and preach my word to everyone, right? And teach them what I told you, the Great Commission. So they heard this book. They heard about how God operates. They heard about how God does things, what God likes, what God doesn't like. They have heard. They knew. Why they didn't think that this is for our admonition? Why they didn't take it serious? Heart issue. They didn't fear the Lord. The right heart fear the Lord. The right heart definitely fear the Lord. Let's open Proverbs 1:7. And I know most of you, if not all of you, know this verse. It's a very famous verse. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it's the beginning of knowledge, of understanding, of blessing, everything. The fear of the Lord. They did not fear God. I'm thinking, how Ananias didn't tell his wife, like Sapphira, I don't know, whatever, however he called his wife, Sapphira, let's fear God. Why Sapphira didn't call Ananias, like, honey, let's fear God. Let's do the right thing. It's our duty, it's our job, it's the requirement that not only fear God, but if we are in a relationship, like husband and wife, we should be in an agreement that we both fear God more than anyone and anything else. And if that is not there, something big is missing there. So I want to use this time, and I want to practice this in my life. My beautiful wife is here, sitting right here, Saba. Saba, please, let's think about what Ananias and Sapphira did. They did not think about Adam and Eve. But you and I need to think about Ananias and Sapphira and Adam and Eve. If any time I'm being Ananias, remind me of the fear of God. Do not fear me. But we should both fear God, and we should remind each other in our relationships. Who is more important? Saba? No, God. Then Saba. Who is more important? Yasin? No, God. So if I'm doing wrong, please, please have mercy on me and tell me right here, because I need to know that here. If I'm lying, please tell me. Ananias and Sapphira did not do the right thing. They did not remind each other of doing the right thing, but we should do that. Adam and Eve is written, and it could be useful for Ananias and Sapphira to remind each other. But why Ananias and Sapphira is written? This is for us. So we can read from Adam and Eve, read about Ananias and Sapphira, and we can make the right decision now. God is done. However you want to divide your Old Testament, it's up to you. But mankind lied to God for the first 4,000 years. I better stop it right now. This is what I'm going to. We are living in the age of God's grace, love, and Holy Spirit. We have sometimes we have a very uncontrollable, unstoppable tongue that says things that is not right, or sometimes make it like bigger than what it is or smaller than what it is. This is our habit. But I should be careful as a Christian who is living in God's grace, and under God's grace and love in the age of the Holy Spirit, I should be more careful about my heart, my tongue, and my decisions. This is me, but this message, it is preached to this church. And I think now everyone have this opportunity to think about why Ananias and Sapphira didn't think about Adam and Eve, but we can think about all four of them. And by the way, every one of them, Adam, Eve, Ananias, and Sapphira, and many more, could press the stop button. The thing is, it's not for me to judge them. It's for me to judge myself. And now we have this picture. I pray that we can be helped by this message.